Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15. As I looked at the pastor kids, not kids anymore, I guess you guys are just worshiping God. I want to just commend you children for the way you guys worship. And I began to miss my girls. And so I think I'm going to bring my girls here one of these days so they can see how y'all worship. And hopefully some of that can rub off on them. I have two daughters, my wife and I both, Gabrielle and Danielle Sage. We love them very much. I got an email from my daughter about work. She's working with us this summer. And now here's her email. Father, could you take a look at this and approve it? I said, wow, that is so cute. She calls me Father. And so I said, when they say Father, you have to approve everything they ask you, you know. What do you want to say? No. And so I said, you know, before we had children, I did not know the joy of having a child. You know, and I used to teach. I began teaching when I was 21 years old, well, 18, 19, and then preaching the gospel when I was 22 years old. And I would preach, you know, about children, and then I didn't know what I was talking about. I really did. And then once I had children, I now understood. It's a different meaning. You know, when you say God the Father, and the joy that children bring to their parents, especially well-behaved children like these ones right here. When, you know, it's you can't explain it. It's one of those things where, I thank God I had children, because had I never had children, I would have never experienced this beautiful gift and the joy and understand the joy that we bring to the Father. Do you know that God is excited about you? You know, when he hears you call him Daddy, Abba, when you come to him in need, you know, the most exciting time for God is when you need him. I mean, of all the times where God is so moved and touched is when you need him. When you're hurt, when you're worn out, when you don't feel adequate, when you've been beat up, when those moments where you feel all alone and you call on him. Those are the moments that are most precious to God, because those are the moments where he touched his heart the most. And those are the moments where he remembers how much he really loves you. Isn't that awesome? I mean, God loves you. He loves all of us. And he loves us more when we need him the most. I know it's painful, and I know that some of you may be going through something right now and you're saying, God, take this thing away from me. You know, whatever that might be. And he's kind of selfish that way. He won't take it away because that thing is drawing you closer to him. And here's one way to get rid of it. Just draw nigh to him. You know, just draw nigh to him. Use that as an opportunity to experience him. And the more you experience him, the more the pain will, if it doesn't go away, it will feel like it went away. Amen? So pray with me if you can. Father, in the name of Jesus, we do thank you and praise you for this opportunity to preach your word. Father, I do yield to you. I do ask that you would lead me by your spirit, that you would help me to rightly divide the word of truth and place the information at a level that each person can receive and grow thereby. Father, I pray that you will open the hearts and minds of your people to receive. Lord, I pray that you would help me not to teach anything contrary to the foundation that's been laid upon this church, but to build upon it, O God, glorifying Jesus Christ. Devil, we speak to you boldly. We remind you that you have no place. We resist you, and now they give you place. No weapon formed against this service is going to prosper. Jesus and Jesus alone is going to be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 15, I'm going to begin reading at verse 58. I'm going to read one passage of scripture, verse 58. And the Apostle Paul states this as he concludes a victorious message or victorious lesson or victorious chapter that he had just articulated here in Corinthians. He says, therefore, whenever you see a therefore, you got to go back and find out what the therefore is for. I'm kind of tempted to do that. Let me go back a little bit. Let me see why he said therefore. Let me start at verse 15. He said, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit, the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, in the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. Somebody say hallelujah. We shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption and this mortal must put on immortality. If your body is hurting right now, if you don't like your body in any way, don't worry about it because one day you'll have a new body. You'll have something brand new, better, 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 better. So when this incorruptible has put on incorruptible and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, having said all that, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing this, that your labor is not in vain. I'm going to share with you from the subject, tipping point. You can actually tell it this way. The breakthrough, the tipping point of breakthrough. In other words, when we talk about breakthrough, what we're essentially saying is that there comes a point in your journey where whatever it is that you're going through, there's going to be a breakthrough. In other words, it's going to end. It's going to come to a different season. No matter what that situation, it could be your finances, it could be your health, it could be your attitude, it could be your job, your career, whatever it is, there will come a time of breakthrough. And so the Apostle Paul says, if you're going to experience it, you got to be steadfast. You got to be steadfast. You got to be immovable. Meaning this, you got to hold on. You got to hold on tight. It's kind of like if you ever flew a plane and on the plane and when the pilot is about to have a rough landing, he said, hold for impact. In other words, he's warning you that something tough is about to happen, but it's going to be okay. Just hold on. Are you following me? And then he says, always. Now, while you hold on, here's the key operative verse, always. That's what's fun seeing these young people here in church. Because they're doing what we are always have to do, always abounding in the work of the Lord. No matter how you feel, no matter what you're going through, no matter how ashamed you might be, are you following me? No matter how broke you might feel, right? Always. The key is don't allow your circumstance to define your commitment to the work of the Lord. Let me say that again. Do not allow your circumstance to determine your commitment to the work of the Lord. Because here's the way the devil here's what the devil does to hinder us from our breakthrough. He causes us to stop, to slow down, to quit from doing the work of God. Whatever that work of God is. And it's just not only in church. It's the work of God in your workplace. The work of God in your family. The work of God in your neighborhood. The work of God in your school. Wherever God has called you, always abound in the work of the Lord. Knowing this, that your labor is not in vain. There will come a breakthrough. So I'm going to share with you, first of all, a little context of this message. Now, the book, the concept of tipping point was made famous by an author called Malcolm Gladwell. Who's familiar with Malcolm Gladwell? All right, somebody in the room. Malcolm Gladwell, one of my favorite authors. If you don't know him, who is, Google him. This man, I mean, he's a prolific writer. I believe he's a believer because a lot of his writings, he makes references to scripture. But he's a secular writer. And he wrote this book called The Tipping Point, and that's kind of what made this concept or this term famous. Here's what Malcolm Gladwell says. At various points in modern history, ideas, products, messages, and other behaviors have suddenly and unexpectedly become very popular. In other words, they hit a breakthrough. Are you following me? In other words, I mean, really, In modern time, at various points in modern history, ideas, products, messages, and other behaviors suddenly and unexpectedly became very popular, hit a breakthrough. At a twinkle of an eye, all of a sudden, there's a breakthrough. In other words, yesterday you were hurting, yesterday your circumstance was horrible, yes, and today it's as though something happened night and day. You went to bed crying, woke up excited. Don't know what happened, but you just know something happened in the spirit. You had a breakthrough. And then he says, certain clothes become fashionable. Crime rates go down at an unprecedented rate, and religions find millions of new worshipers. Churches all of a sudden find themselves with all their seats filled. Are you following me? Standing room only. Got to find a new building because guess what? We've outgrown the current one. We hit a breakthrough. Are you following? Y'all don't sound excited about this. I mean, y'all want to be hit by yourselves? Are you following me? In other words, one day you'll be coming to church. If you don't come on time, you ain't going to find a seat. Because we had him a breakthrough. May not happen tomorrow. May not happen the after tomorrow. But if you stay the course, it will happen. Not every mega church became mega. It started as mega. Are you following me? There was a point where they stayed the course and they hit a breakthrough. And here's what he says. This phenomenon is called a social epidemic. Intuitively, most people would like to think that social epidemics happens slowly and gradually. In other words, that slowly and gradually one day things in our lives just change. Things in our church just change. Things in our family just change. Are you following me? Old issues no longer were there. He says, but in fact, many changes in society are so sudden that they almost seem to happen overnight. He says, the moment at which a social epidemic goes from invisible to seemingly ubiquitous, that's a fancy word for all the sudden, it's called a tipping point. Are you following me? He said, so this book, The Tipping Point, seeks to understand how social epidemics happen and whether it's possible to start and control them. Translation. Is it possible to start and control a breakthrough? I mean, that's what he said. Is it possible, Patrice, is it possible for me to live my life, my work, my ministry in such a way that I can plan for, intentionally prepare for a breakthrough? Now, would you like to know if that was possible? No, maybe. You got to talk back to me, guys. Would you like to know if that was possible? Are you following me? I would like to know, is it possible to plan for, engage, prepare for, intentionally ensure a breakthrough in my life? Is it possible? And I'm here to tell you, not only is it possible, but it's been done over and over again. So we're going to define the tipping. Well, before we do that, let's do this. Go to the next slide for me. All right, so I want you to take a look at that little slide right there. And as you look at that slide, I want you to notice something. Notice down here, let me get my pointer here, because I want you to pay attention to this. Now, so I want you to notice, so there's a little guy right here. He's kind of pushing, call this fatigue, call this sickness, disease, call this poverty, whatever your circumstances, call this issue, whatever issue you're going through. This is, so you're kind of taking, or you can call this the goals that you're pushing up, you're trying to achieve certain things, whatever it is, you believe in God, whatever you believe in God for, right? So you're taking this up, and it looks smaller from the bottom, just got to keep pushing, right? So you're pushing it, you're going through, trying to get your education done. Right? Trying to get your career position. You're trying to believe in God for a spiritual breakthrough, whatever that is. Right? You're kind of pressing on your business. You're pressing. You're like, Patrice, it's been years. I know it's been years. You follow children. I got my own story. It's been 20 years for me. Are you following me? You're kind of pressing. Your marriage, whatever it is, right? Your family. You believe in God for some folks to get saved, right? And then there's this point here called the tipping point. Now, what happens is that after you pass the tipping point, you hit what we call momentum. All right? You hit momentum. And then it gets easier from there. And if you hit another hill, you've got some momentum behind you. You follow me? In other words, you may still hit some bumps, but those bumps just cause you to fly over the other bumps. Are you following me? And so that's kind of our lives. So this is the point of breakthrough. Where you broke through in your education. Something is just easier than it was. You broke through in your finances. All of a sudden you got money in your savings account. Are you following me? All of a sudden you're debt free. You broke through in your spiritual. All of a sudden the things you believe God for, you start experiencing it. You broke through in your health. Things that you were pain before, no longer. You broke through in your, whatever that thing you're believing God for, you hit that point of breakthrough. So, we're going to define what does it mean to break through? What does it mean to have a tipping point? What are the three types of tipping point? What are the signs of a tipping point? And what causes a tipping point? So, let's look at our first point. What's a tipping point? Now, I want you to turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 6, verse 1. Now, for those of you who did not go to the conference, you're getting your free stuff here. You got to give a special offering today for the church. Because I'm bringing you something that you should have paid for. And you got to thank God by blessing the ministry, amen? All right. Acts chapter 6. Verse 1 says this, now in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because the widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Now, and then I want you to look at verse 7. After they made the adjustment of the struggle, verse 7 says this, then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Chapter 6 is a reflection of the season in the early church where they hit a breakthrough. If you remember your church history, Acts chapter 1, well, first of all, the end of the Gospels, right? Jesus Christ dies and rises again, right? Gets put on the cross, dies and rises again. The disciples are perplexed, they're confused. You know, what's going to happen now? They've denounced him, denied him, all that stuff. And Jesus confronts them and gives them what we call today the Great Commission, right? The assignment that all of us have to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Acts chapter 1, Jesus Christ says to them, you know what? But before you go, wait, right? Wait, because I'm going to give you power, right? So that you might be my witnesses, so you can fulfill the Great Commission. And so they go up in the upper room to wait for Jesus Christ for the power to come. At that moment, who remembers how many Christians there were in the church? In the upper room at that moment. Acts chapter 2. I'm going to tell you, Pastor, you fell Bible. At that moment, there's 120 believers. All right? 120 believers. Right? So Jesus died. There were 11 apostles. One betrayed him. Altogether, those who stayed together were by 11. So you got the apostles plus you got the disciples, right? So among the multitude, only about 109, right, stuck. So this man for 3 years have given everything he had, blessed thousands. Think about it, 5,000 that he fed, plus all that stuff. So thousands of people. Probably hundreds of thousands were impacted by his ministry. Only 120 are left. Peter preaches first public sermon after the Holy Ghost comes. How many comes to Christ? 3,000. Somebody knows Bible right here. 3,000. Now they're 3,120. Right? And so the church then began to grow. They're facing external persecution, prison, beatings, whatever. In spite of all of it, the church is growing. Right? It's growing. And then Acts chapter 1, they hit a breakthrough. Right? Where the church is just multiplying. So they went from 120, it just kind of keeps going. Until today, to several billions. 1.7 billion believers. Of course, among those billions, you know, you gotta count kind of the real ones, right? But, who's a real one in here? Raise your hand. Amen. Right? So you got, but the point is that we have grown. We have grown. They hit a breakthrough. And by the way, there were different times in history where the church was almost in stink. The church was almost destroyed. But Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail. Now, when he made that statement, understand this, he was facing literally a mountain in Israel. And that mountain was, this mountain was in the place called Caesarea Philippi. And this mountain was actually a place where demons worship. So when he says, upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell, he's literally looking at a place called Hell's Gates. A place where demons worship, a place where sorcery, a place where all the great demons of that region, Greek and all that region, hang out. He says those demons will not prevail against my church. And that has come to pass. No matter what the church of Jesus have gone through, it has always faced a breakthrough. There's always been a tipping point, a point where they overcame. Because Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevail. It wasn't a promise of comfort. It wasn't a promise that things are going to be easy. But what it was a commitment that, lo, I be with you even till the end of the times. So no matter what you're facing, what you're going through, he's right there with you. So what is the tipping point? Now, based on physics, it is a point at which an object is no longer balanced, and adding a small amount of weight, which can cause it to topple. Remember that little thing where right there, once it hit that point, it tips over, right? And begins to go to the other side. It is the point which minor effort can yield to significant change and transformation, both positive and negative, occur. In other words, it is that point in your life, that point in your journey, where minor efforts yield greater results. You find, no, because there's a season in our lives where we have to work hard to get just a little bit. Right? We got to work hard to get a little bit of scripture, or to get a little bit of spiritual growth, to get a little bit of margin. Work hard to get a little bit of money. But there comes a time in our lives where our yield is far more greater than our investment, because we have passed the tipping point. Now we are experiencing exponential results. Now it's no longer addition, it is multiplication. Are you following me? It is that point in which our consistent resolve, what does that mean? Our stubborn pursuit of that which is right. In other words, we've been at it. We've been at it. The devil's trying to stop. We've been at it. We've been stubbornly continuing no matter the outcome. You see, if you're trying to serve God because you're seeing change, you're going to quit eventually. Because the just shall live by what? Faith. Are you following me? So you got to serve God because he is. And he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's faith. And so the point at which our consistent resolve, our stubborn will, where the devil's like, why don't you quit already? I give you enough reason to quit. You say, I ain't quitting. If God don't, here's what Job, I love Job. He said, you know what? Even if you kill me, I'm going to serve you. I mean, you got to come to a point in your faith where you're no longer walking by sight. I mean, that's like fundamental Christianity. Where you say, you know what? Devil, I don't care what happens. I can be broke. I can lose my house, my car, my dog can bite me, but I'm going to serve him. I'm going to serve him. I mean, don't you hate those Christians that are, you know, nine-den Christians? You know, they're Christians when things are good, question when things aren't bad. Are you following me? You know, I mean, those are some of the most discouraging Christians there is. Like, turn in your Christianity card. I mean, what's the point? Go through the world. At least have a good time in the world. Well, you're happy today, you're sad tomorrow, you're happy. Our consistent resolve, our stubborn will yields momentous outcome. Now, we can experience the tipping point in seven areas of our lives. We can experience tipping point in our spiritual development. In other words, in our spiritual life, wherever you are, who's been saved less than a year? Raise your hand. You've been saved less than a year. You come to Christ less than a year. All right, less than 2 years. All right, less than 3 years. All right. All right. So when you're, for those of us new believers, less than 3 years, some things seem difficult now, right? Some things, you know, you may not know what Genesis is, right? Well, hopefully you do by now. But, you know, something, you know, but then as you keep going, as you keep going, as you keep going, there comes a point where you hit a breakthrough. Where certain sermons, what is he talking about? And all of a sudden, it starts connecting. The dots start connecting. Certain, when they mention certain characters in the Bible, you know, you had no clue who they were. Right? You thought it was an actor. Right? All of a sudden, it starts coming along. You read certain passages of scripture, it's like you're reading Greek. Yeah, what in the world? It's putting you to sleep. Right? I mean, it's a great sleeping pill. You follow me? You read the Bible, go to bed. Right? All of a sudden, one day, it keeps you up. Are you following me? You know, so what? Because you've hit a spiritual breakthrough, right? Your prayer is like 10 minutes. You know, the 10 minutes, you know, you're tired of praying. And then all of a sudden, you can go 30. You can go now. You can go, you know, because you hit that breakthrough. Right? You can also experience breakthrough in your personal development. Some personal stuff that you believe in God for. Some personal discipline that you've been working hard on. Whether it's getting up on time or sleeping at a certain time. Whether it's certain life habits, right? Letting go some things out of your life, right? Whatever those things are, that all of a sudden, you hit a breakthrough, right? Before a certain, you know, health discipline, whatever that is, right? You can hit a breakthrough in your personal development. Or in your marriage. Well, your marriage. There was a season where your marriage was a certain way, and all of a sudden, one day, wow, you love your wife again or love your husband again, right? You know, all of a sudden, a new fire has kind of come in. You hit a breakthrough. Or your children, right? Oh, man, your children. I'm thinking about my own children. You know, I mean, for 3-4 years, y'all got to work. You got to work. And one day, we hit a breakthrough. I mean, you follow me? Hopefully, it sticks, but you hit a breakthrough, right? Have you guys hit a breakthrough with your parents? You hit a breakthrough? Yes, you have. I know you did. All right. You know, when all of a sudden, children that were stubborn, obedient, right? All of a sudden, they're complying. All of a sudden, it's kind of happening. Or your work or ministry, right? Your attitude about your work changes one day, right? Or you're starting, you know, you've been working hard and for a little bit, not getting a promotion, not getting a raise, or your business hasn't been working well, or whatever has been going. And then one day, certain things happen, you hit a breakthrough, right? All of a sudden, you're valuable, so you get in demand. All of a sudden, you got to turn down business. All of a sudden, you're getting promoted, right? That boss that couldn't stand you moved on. They fired him. Or he got changed somewhere, right? You hit a breakthrough. In other words, all of a sudden, you kind of experience that breakthrough in your ministry, in your work, you know, on your business, on your finances, right? In other words, you can experience a breakthrough or a tipping point in every aspect of your life. Here's the key. You've got to lay them on the altar and trust the Lord for them. And walk by faith until change comes. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because your labor is not in vain. Now, so here's the question. What are the different types of tipping points? Or in other words, what are the different types of positive or negative breakthrough we can experience? One of them is sin. Turn your Bible. Well, first turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Now, in Exodus chapter 3, we see a breakthrough that occurs. Now, we know the story, right? Exodus kind of is the book that talks about the Exodus, a good way to think about it is the, think of Exodus as exit. The exit, right, the pulling out, the drawing out, literally, Exodus is about one nation giving birth to another. Okay? Imagine, you know, a human being comes out of another human being. This is the nation of Egypt that have been a belly within which God was kind of birthing, was kind of, there was a seed in the belly of Egypt of this new nation called Israel. Right? That God was kind of developing. And all of a sudden, Exodus is about, whew, this new nation being pushed out of Egypt. Egypt giving birth to Israel. All right? Now, but they went through a lot of birth pain as that happened, as that occurred prior to that happening. And so here in Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, and here's what the Lord says to Moses. Verse 7 says, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because their taskmaster, for I know their sorrows." You see, whatever pain and struggle you're going through, it could be under a boss, it could be under a whatever it is, there comes a time where God hears your cries. Right? And so there came a time where the birth pain of Egypt got God's attention. And God said, it is time to birth this new nation. No, he says, it is time to give you, Israel, your own country. Because you're not appreciated in Egypt. It's like God coming to you, it is time to give you a new bit, your own business, because your boss don't appreciate you. Can you say amen to that? It is time to give you a new position because you're not appreciated. It is time to change your circumstance for the positive because I have heard your cries and I've seen your prayers. Because you've been steadfast, immovable, you've always abounded in the work of the Lord, right? And your labor is not in vain. God rewards those who are faithful. Just stand still. Here's the problem though. We complain too much. The problem, we don't allow God to work on our behalf. We want to fix it versus letting God do our bidding for us. So there came a time for Israel where God says, I've heard your cries. I've seen your pain. And it's time for me to bring you out, to exodus you out. So you might be ushered into your own nation, a land filled with milk and honey. They hit a tipping point. In other words, the tipping point was when God said, enough is enough. Enough is enough. Christopher, I'm going to set you up in your own stuff. Enough is enough. Poor and treating you. And I'm just joking. Enough is enough. Are you following me? Enough. In other words, when the Lord sees your situation and says, you know what? Enough is enough. I've heard your cries. I've heard your pain. I've been there with you. And it's time for me to set you up. Are you following me? So, but there are different kind of tip. But the first kind of tipping point is sin. Turn to Numbers chapter 14. Because if we're going to experience a breakthrough, we need to avoid the sinful kind of breakthrough or tipping point. In other words, so in Numbers chapter 14, God had just asked Moses to send the children of Israel to the promise to spy the land. And they came back from spying the land. 10 of them, there were 12 of them. 10 of them came back with a bad report. They came back saying things like, there are giants in the land. We cannot do it. We were like grasshoppers in their eye. They came back in disbelief. They came back forgetting what God has said. But two of them, Joshua and Caleb, came back and said, we're able to overcome them. Right? But then, and so the 10 of them who came, that turned the hearts of the people away from God. Now, so the Lord got upset. All right, because he was tired of it. In other words, their sin had hit a tipping point. Are you following me? In other words, when you continuously act rebelliously, rejecting God's best for your life, when you continually reject the word of God, when you continually rebel against God, There will come a point where there will be a tipping point. God's going to say, you know what, had enough. See, this was not the first time they had done that. I mean, they've been complaining all along. So look at what happens. Look at Numbers 14. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And listen to what they said. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness. I mean, look what it's saying. If only you have left us in the belly of Egypt. If only you had left us in that bad place where we were. If only you have kept me in that terrible jail I couldn't stay. If only you kept me in that horrible apartment that I didn't like. You know what? If only, see, I mean, this is a lack of gratitude. Look at what it said. Verse 3. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? Verse 11, look at God's response. Actually, let me read this one. Verse 4. So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. It's like a dog going back to his vomit. Let me go back to that place that I complained so much about, that I said I didn't like, that I wanted to leave, and God allowed me to leave, and now I want to go back there. Because I don't like the journey of getting to the place where I wanted to go. It's not like I wanted to be set free, and God set me free, and now I'm complaining about the journey of freedom. Here's what God said. Verse 11. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me? With all the signs which I have performed among them, with all the miracles I've done, caused bread to come from heaven, caused water to come out of rock, protected them, preserved them from all the nastiness along the way, saved them from Pharaoh, parted the Red Sea on their behalf. With all that I did, caused them to get wealth from Egypt, caused the Egyptians to give them all kinds of stuff that they're left with. With all that I've done, look what God said. Verse 12, I will strike them with pestilence and disinherit them. I will make you a new nation, greater and mightier than them. God hit a tipping point. So there's a negative kind of breakthrough. When our stubborn will refuses consistently to embrace the will of God for our lives. When we complain and whine and bicker about the very thing that we wanted God to do in our lives. Are you following me? In other words, you believe God for it. You believe God for a husband. Now you complain about him all the time. I mean, are you following me? You believe God for a wife. Now you're not happy with her. Believe God for children. Now you can't stand them. Believe God for a church. Now you don't like your church. Believe God for a pastor. Now you don't like the pastor. Are you following me? I mean, you believe God for it, and God gave it to you. Now you don't like it. He said, but I didn't know you were going to give it to me like this. But you can't, I mean, understand this. You got to work for something. You know, you go from church to church, believing God for a new church. After a while, you got to stop and say, maybe it's me. Do you know that every time you find a perfect church, once you join it, that church seems to be perfect? You know every time you find a perfect job, once you join it, it stops being a perfect job? Because you are it, my friend. Tell you a story. A motivational speaker was having a seminar. And so the seminar was about having the right kind of attitude. And so a lady came to him during the break and said, can I talk to you? She said, you know, I got to do something about my job. I'm not happy. They don't treat me right. And she began to complain about her job. And the speaker says, ma'am, is there anything about your job that you like? She said, nothing. Can't stand the job. She said, is there anything about you grateful for? She says, not a thing. He said, well, let me ask you this. Are you grateful they pay you? She said, do they pay you? She said, yes, they pay me. Are you grateful for that? She says, well, I guess I am. She said, you have a desk that you work on? He said, yeah, I do. She said, are you grateful for that? He said, I guess I am. He said, I tell you what, why don't you make a list of 40 things you're grateful for about your job? And let's talk again tomorrow. He said, I don't think I can do that. 40, there's... He said, just make the list and let's talk. And so she said, okay, I'll do it. And so she made her list. And the next day he came to, and met the speaker. And the speaker says, all right. She said, what I want you to do is for the next 30 days, every day, say how grateful you are about these things. Just I'm grateful for my desk. I'm grateful for my job. I'm grateful for... She said, just say how grateful you are about these things. And it's okay, I'll do it. I don't think it's going to do it. I'll do it. Fast forward, 7 months later, he was in town again. And the lady came and said, you know, I just had to see you. He said, why? He said, you will not believe this. He said, what happened? She says, things have changed in my job. He said, what changed? She says, all those people I couldn't stand, they have changed. They're not nice people. I love my job now. Everybody around me is now very different. Do you know who real changed? It was her. She went from a funky attitude to a grateful one. The reason we don't experience our breakthrough often is because of our lack of gratitude. Let me say that again. The reason we often don't experience our breakthrough is we've got a lack of attitude. Our lack of gratitude. The very thing that we believe God for, we got. And those very things we complained about. You see, because we want God to bless us exactly the way we want it. We want custom blessings. You know what a custom blessing is? It's like, young ladies, it's kind of like when you kind of draw out that perfect young man that you want to marry one day. You know, he's all the way you want. Has all the, you follow me? And then the reality, they don't exist. You know, they don't exist. Right? We want custom blessing. God, here's exactly how I want it. I want a woman who's cute, gets up early, looking beautiful. You ain't got to brush her teeth because she look good already. Right? Her hair is not, are you following me? Don't gain weight. Even when she's pregnant, she can't gain weight. She's just always slim. I mean, are you following me? Right? I want her to look like my favorite rock star. I mean, are you following me? You've got this because television have created in you this image of lack of reality. We want custom blessings, right? And we want microwave miracles, right? We want microwave miracles. We want God to do it yesterday. As a matter of fact, yesterday is too late. Our lack of gratitude hinders our breakthrough. So if you want a breakthrough in your life, begin to be thankful. Make a list of the things you're thankful for. If you want your parents to change, start being thankful. And trust me, that will change real quick. If you want your wife to change, start being thankful. If you want your husband to change, start. If you want your church to change, start being thankful. And God said, I'm going to make you because he was tired of their complaints. And you know what happens? Most of them did not make it to the promise. Only Joshua and Caleb did. God killed them all in the wilderness. Now, you will go to heaven, but you will not see the promise. Now, I don't know about you, But I want to die when it's my time, not 1 minute sooner. You said, but you, don't you want to go to heaven? I do. But if I can have some heaven here, I don't mind practicing until I get there. Are you following me? And so if you don't stop whining about whatever, whoever, you will not experience your breakthrough. Learn from the past. The Bible says it was written that we might learn from it. You said, but Trace, I'm different. No, you're not. I only complain only a little bit. That's a little bit too much. Are you following me? The next type of breakthrough or tipping point is prayer. Look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, we see a prayer tipping point that is powerful. How many of us here are prayer warriors? How many of you are prayer warriors? Raise your hand. All the prayer warriors, raise your hand. Oh, my Lord. Lord, help. We need some prayer warriors in this church. All y'all should be raising your hands. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. All of us ought to be prayer warriors. So Numbers, Luke chapter 1. Look at verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the divisions of Abijah. His wife was one of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all of the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. Verse 8. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Verse 10, and the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the house at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar in the incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear came upon him. Verse 13, but the angel said to the Lord, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. There comes a season of lives where unanswered prayers get answered. Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth have been praying for years. You got to understand something in the Jewish community. Having a child, having a wife who's barren was a disgrace. It was almost a sign of a curse. Because Genesis says that be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. So God's blessing, God covered a blessing, right, had to do with part financial prosperity, part children. The ability to have children was a sign of God's blessing for the Jews. Right? There was a direct correlation between children and blessing. So those who didn't have children weren't considered blessed. The culture looked at them and said, something must be wrong. Who sinned? You or your parents? That you can't have a child. So for this man and his wife to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Though they had no child, though she was barren. The Bible says she was well in age, like Sarah and Abraham. But kept being faithful before God. Faithful before God. Faithful before God. How many of us will continue to be faithful before God, even though he's not answered that key prayer that we're believing him for? That thing that makes us a disgrace before the people. Are you following me? In other words, you don't have a car and the folks look at you walking everywhere, wondering why aren't you blessed as much as you pray, as much as you believe God, but yet you're still faithful. You don't live in the right kind of neighborhood. Don't wear the kind of clothes. Can't go to certain places. In other words, your life is not always reflective of a blessed life based on how people perceive it. Based on tradition, whatever that is. Then look at you and say, man, you're a believer. You're praying, but yet how are you struggling so much? Are you following me? Even you get embarrassed. That was them. I can imagine folks saying, I've got to answer your prayer. It's a little bit pregnant yet. And I'm sure once they got a certain age, folks says, well, that's all that there is. Some probably say, you know what? They've been cursed. You know, how do we know they're truly saved? Right? And then one day while he was praying, the angel came and said, your prayers have been heard. Oh, glory to God forevermore. I don't know what you have upon the altar. I don't know what you're praying for. It could be praying for your parents or praying for your church or praying for your life or praying for your country or praying for your finances or praying for your husband or your wife or your children. Whatever you're praying for and you've been praying for years, I'm here to tell you today, there will come a breakthrough. There will come a day where God will answer your prayers. And at that very moment, in the twinkle of an eye, things will change. You just got to stay the course and keep praying. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because your labor is not in vain. Stay the course. You say, but Patrice, what if I never see it? Well, guess what? Your children will see it. Your children will see it, because you're running a marathon that's a relay. Are you following me? You're going to take the baton to one place. You're going to pass it on to the next person. You guys heard of a guy named Joel Osteen? Joel Osteen is an American preacher. No matter whether you like his preaching or not, let me tell you the story about him. So Joel's father had a church. He was a pastor. He's a pastor's child. Like these girls, you know, PK. Right? His father's church never was over 5,000. Right? So he didn't have a big church. And for a long time, it was smaller. And for years and years, his father just was faithful and faithful. Right? And Joel didn't really feel called to be a pastor. He was working the media, the kind of what Paul does. But then as his father was becoming ill, he was asked to help. You know the rest of the story. Now his church, close to 100,000 members. Well, his father didn't have a major ministry, but Joel today does. So his father never experienced the full breakthrough that he maybe believed God for, but it came with his son. Let me tell you something. We are in a relay, ladies and gentlemen. You may never see that mega church that you believe in God for, but those who come behind you may. But the key is this: do you remain faithful? Do you lay a foundation so that others can build upon? Because Joel couldn't have done what he did without his father. Are you following me? Whose foundation are you standing on? And who will stand upon your foundation? Oh, my Lord, my time. Let me hurry up here. How much more time do I have, Paul? Lord Jesus. Let me move on. Another breakthrough is movement. There are breakthroughs of movement. In other words, you know, when you're working a business or when you're working something and then it comes a breakthrough. But let me go to this. Let me go to the next thing. What are the signs of breakthrough? The signs of breakthrough, if you turn to 2 Corinthians 12, I'm not going to turn there. 2 Corinthians 12 is where the Apostle Paul, right, is facing a challenge, and the Lord comes to him and he goes to God. He calls it a thorn in the flesh. You know what it was? Thorn in the flesh. Right, a difficulty. He was believing God for a breakthrough, right, in a situation in his life. And he goes to God and says, Lord, I need a breakthrough. I need a tipping point, Lord. And the Lord says to him, my grace is sufficient for you. So the Lord does not take away whatever he was facing, but yet give him the grace to bear it. Are you following me? So here the sign of a breakthrough, the first sign of a breakthrough is resistance. So if you're facing resistance, you're about to experience a breakthrough. Are you following me? Because before breakthroughs, there's always major resistance. Are you following me? Because the devil does not want you to break through. The second thing is spiritual attacks. If you're facing spiritual attacks, you're about to experience a breakthrough. Because before every major breakthrough, the devil goes crazy. He sends every demons after you. Are you following me? He sends the mean one, the nasty ones, and the ugly ones. And you're getting it every which way. If you're facing some ugly demons, you're about to face a breakthrough. So that means get excited. That's what the Apostle Paul say. Having said that, God, I'm going to rejoice in my infirmities. I'm going to get excited when I'm going through problems, because guess what? That means I'm about to face what? A breakthrough. When you face, another one is fatigue. In other words, you feel overworked, overwhelmed, right? You feel as though, you going to bed tired, waking up, kind of just believing God. Are you fine? You're about to face a breakthrough. Because God knows how much you can handle. And there's coming to a point. And part of it is, understand this. Some demands upon our life is a test of our faithfulness. See, it's a test of our faithfulness. You're about to face a breakthrough. When you are experiencing a supernatural grace, a grace that you can't understand, you're about to face a breakthrough. What does that mean, Patrice? Here's what it means. It means this, that your life is kind of crazy, but you don't understand how you're doing all the stuff you're doing. Are you following me? You don't understand how you're making it. You don't understand how things are happening. People ask you, how are you able to do all this? You're like, I actually have no idea. And then you start explaining it and you realize you even sound crazy. You follow me? It is called grace. In other words, God's favor, God's strength working on your behalf. Are you following me? They say, how'd you pay for your education? Because my parents could afford it. You know what? I don't. God's favor. Right? How'd you get that job? It's a good question. It's called God's favor, grace. When you're seeing signs of grace, you are about to experience a breakthrough. And then the last one is oneness in Christ. When in the midst of all of that challenge, in the midst of the resistance, in the midst of the attacks, in the midst of the fatigue, you see yourself one with Jesus, one with his body, you are about to experience a breakthrough. Let me conclude with this. Galatians chapter 6, 9. Turn to there real quick as I close. Galatians chapter 6, 9. Now, I love this particular passage in Galatians because it really brings it home. Now, by the way, the book of Galatians is just a beautiful book, okay? It's just a gorgeous book. I recommend that you read the whole book. But look at Galatians. He says this, Galatians 6, 9. It says, let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Are you following me? So what caused a breakthrough? Number one is faith. Faith, see, for us to experience a breakthrough in our lives, we've got to keep believing, because a just shall live by faith. For us to experience a breakthrough, we've got to stay firm to our convictions. Are you following me? Your conviction is that, in other words, is that thing in you, is that stubborn will in your spirit, that you believe what you believe, what you believe. Are you following me? For us to experience a breakthrough, we've got to hold on to our resolve. Our resolve is another kind of stubborn will. See, the conviction goes into our spirit, but the resolve is our soul. Our soulish man has gotten stubborn. Are you following me? People want you to quit. People say, why you can? People, I feel sorry for you. But you know what? You have got a resolve. If you're going to experience a breakthrough, you've got to be consistent. Here's what it means. You got to find yourself doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. Some of you guys have not experienced breakthrough because you keep changing. You keep changing job. By the time God wants to bless you at the job, you don't move to the next job. Are you following me? You keep changing. In other words, stay the course. So that when the blessing comes, it finds you there. You keep changing churches. When the blessing comes, you done moved on. Are you following me? You've got to be consistent. And then, if you're going to, what causes breakthrough is God's timing. Remember this. This cannot be custom. It's not microwavable. There's no such thing as custom blessing. It's got to come in God's timing and God's season. Number eight, number eight, seven, if you, or eight, if you're going to spend a breakthrough, You've got to be ready. Your readiness is what enables you to walk in a breakthrough. In other words, are you ready for the breakthrough? Are you following me? Because if you're not ready for it, it's not going to come. Because do you remember that rock that dude was pushing up? When that gets to a tipping point, if you're not ready, you're going to crash at the next level. Because some of us, because you're not ready, when the breakthrough comes, you can't even recognize it. And your mindset is still in the wilderness. So you got to be ready. And lastly, if you're going to experience a breakthrough, you've got to be united in the spirit. You got to be, see, because breakthrough comes in midst of unity. That's what the Bible says this, that where there's two or more, there he's in the midst. Are you following me? That's what the Bible says, how blessed it is when brethren dwell together in unity. It's like the oil running down Aaron's beard. It's like the dew coming down Mount Zion. There he commands a blessing. Let me say it again. How blessed it is when the church, when the family walk together in unity. There's nothing that you can believe God for according to his will that your unity will not bring to pass. How blessed it is when we walk together in unity. It's like the dew coming down Mount Zion. That dew creates an environment of fertility that causes growth. It's like the oil that comes down Aaron's beard. That's the oil of the Holy Ghost. That's favor. Are you following me? There, where there's unity, God not command. In other words, blessing has to come because God has commanded it. And so if you're ready to be one as a church, one as a family, one with your mate, one with your coworker, guess what? You can't help it. A breakthrough is coming your way. God bless you.